racing to the first tee, knowing what fun it will be. Soon the starter will call me to the first tee.
Well, a week opened with Jack Nicklaus. Then we had Tiger coming back to life, and we finished up with an exciting playoff between little-known Luke List and a wily old 24-year-old established champion by the name of Justin Thomas. Hi, welcome to the Grow Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf. I'm Bob Bupka, and don't be surprised, but he's making a comeback due to popular demand, filling in for Jay Randolph Jr., who's on vacation. No stranger to Grow Room listeners, the one, the only, Alex Maselli. It was quite a week down at Honda.
Well, as usual, Bob, I have to clear up all your inaccuracies early on. First of all, it's not by popular demand. I am sure many people hearing my voice are now turning the whatever you do on a computer to something else. Secondly, Jay Randolph giving me this opportunity. I appreciate that. He must have thought that I was desperate. But no, it's good to be back, I think. We'll see. I got a whole hour. I'm trying to figure out how to deal with that. But it was actually, one thing that you did say, it was quite an interesting week at Honda.
Yeah, it really did. And actually, one of the highlights, and he never fails to live up to the billing. Jack comes into the media room, and, you know, he's so far removed from the game, and yet he commands so much attention. And had actually a little friendly battle with you. And I know you were enjoying it. He was enjoying it from up on the stage. But, people ask me all the time, who would I prefer to be in a media room? It's simply Jack. I mean, he's just really unbelievable.
Well, yes, I would go. That's certainly one adjective you could go with. We don't have many stewards of the game that we can talk to, someone that when they say something, it means something. No matter what the subject is, if Jack says something, it's going to get play. If Tiger would ever say something, maybe he would be in that same position. Arnold, when he was alive, when he said something, it meant something. So when you get Jack, no matter how long it is, and in this particular case, it was a Tuesday afternoon at like 6:15, really wasn't a lot of time we spent with them, but it was all quality time, and it was all worthwhile.
You know, Alex, you know it as well as anybody. Jack's pet peeve for the last 15 years has been the golf ball. It doesn't seem long. Anytime a mic opens in front of him, the conversation's going to gravitate to the golf ball. Plus, he has some other methods of, rolling back the golf ball with this 60%, 70%, 80% stuff. And I'm sure you understand it far better than I do. I mean, to me, it's somewhat confusing. But he seemed excited, Alex, that having dinner with Mike Davis, the head of the USGA, that apparently Jack got some indication that rolling back the golf ball maybe is now on the front burner.
Well, first of all, everyone that covers golf knows not to ask Jack Nicklaus a golf ball question, because as soon as you do, he goes on his hobby horse for 20 minutes. So none of us did. The question was a legitimate question about pace of play. Somehow, some way, Jack took that pace of play question and spun it around to the golf ball question. So that kind of put everything topsy-turvy. And, you suggest that I might know about this 60%, 70%, 80%, so forth and so on kind of thing. There are people that are currently getting their PhDs at MIT that don't understand what Jack was saying there, Bob. So, I think that Jack, who we both care for and love dearly, is kind of maybe a little off the reservation on this whole idea about trying to make courses 60% courses and 70% courses and 80% courses. I mean, there's no way in the world that is going to work.
Yes, especially when he sits there and says, you know, so if you're going to go play a 60% golf course, you get a 60% golf ball. Or you go to 70% course, you get a 70% golf ball. Can you imagine the confusion on the first tee with four guys? What ball do you have? You got 60? Hey, wait a minute. You got to be playing 80 here. I mean, it really would be hilarious.
Well, you know, didn't Jack create that golf course in the Cayman Islands where they used a Cayman ball?
I think he did.
Yeah, which is a reduced distance ball. I mean, but that had dimples externally versus internally, so you can understand that. But I mean, I could just see a guy on the tee at a 60% course using a 60% ball, and then realizing, uh-oh, wait a minute, that could be the 80% ball. I'm not sure. I mean, forget it. Are we trying to make it easier, or are we trying to make it harder, Jack? What are we trying to do?
Well, he did say that he's in a new phase of his life. Apparently. Giving up total control of his company, but he's still going to be involved, saying they want to spend time with Barbara's endeavors, mainly raising money for charities, which he certainly has to be commended. He didn't seem that happy about the turning over of the Nicklaus companies. The press release that came out made it seem like it was a very joyous occasion. Jack didn't seem that way when he was up on the stage.
Well, I think at any point, Bob, the realization that you're getting to a point where you're not going to be able to do the things you were able to do before, I think that's certainly a concern for Jack. He built that company up, as he said, and now someone else is going to be taking control of it. And he probably wasn't ready for that, and it probably just kind of ended up evolving and happening. So, yeah, I mean, I'm not going to say that he's thrilled about it, but at the same time, as you mentioned, his ability to raise money is uncanny. On that Monday before Honda, they had an event, I believe, at the Bears Club where they raised $3 million. Now, let me just say, there are tournaments on the PGA Tour that don't raise $3 million for charity, and Jack raised it in one day at the Bears Club.
And one nice thing about that, Jack was quick to point out that he certainly appreciated all the players that came from L.A. To play on the East Coast, on Monday. Of course, you know, they weren't sitting where I sit in that airplane, middle seat back in coach. I mean, you know, to go from L.A. To West Palm Beach, Florida, in a private jet, which probably has a bed in it, is not that difficult. And you would know a lot more about those kind of flight arrangements than I would.
Absolutely. I subscribe to the best magazines, and that's why I know more than you do on that.
Anyhow, I had an opportunity to catch up with Jack, and anytime I get around him, I love to reminisce a little bit. And of course, what do you want to reminisce with Jack about? Only one thing, the greatest Masters ever played. Jack, when I look back to the first time I met you, was on the Thursday of the 86 Masters. And my question to you was, I'd like you to talk a little bit about the U.S. Open coming to Shinnecock. You looked at me and said, I am here to win the Masters. I'm not here to talk about Shinnecock. And you had a bad round on that Thursday. And
that's then 74.
Right. And you went on to win. What do you remember? Because I remember a lot about...
Giving you that answer.
You do?
Yeah, I do.
What impressed me, though, was your session in the media room, how long you stayed there, even eventually bringing Barbara up on the stage with you. I mean, do you remember?
Was that before or after the tournament?
After, on that Sunday night.
Oh, okay.
You were in there for a good 3 hours.
I was there for a while. You know, you don't often win the Masters at age 46, and you don't often win a major if you haven't won one in 6 years. So, you know, you can have 4 hours if you want it, Bob. I'll go in for five for another one.
Thanks for your time, Jack.
Okay, pal. Take care.
Well, one stipulation that Alex Maselli said about doing this show today, we definitely have to talk about Tiger, one of his favorite subjects. But what an amazing week for Honda. 224,000 spectators, Alex. I mean, when you think back to the first time it came to PGA National, it was 83,000. Ken Kennelly and that entire group with Honda, the longest-running sponsors on the PGA Tour now, they're doing a magnificent job down there.
Well, I mean, first of all, you know, CBS did the coverage this week because NBC was in at the Olympics, the Winter Olympics in Korea. According to an email that I got while we're doing the show, the Honda Classic was the most watched in 6 years, averaging 4 million viewers, up 43% from last year. And I mean, I have to give it to the has-been, Tiger Woods, because obviously people thinking he's got a shot on Sunday, so we have to watch. Clearly, he did what he usually has done on Sundays, is which basically tank it. So, but they still watched Justin Thomas winning, but yet 4 million viewers. I mean, when you compare that to the measly little numbers that the Golf Channel gets, that's a pretty significant number.
Well, it's kind of funny. Bob Joyce, a longtime club professional whose accommodations we took full advantage of, was in that group following Tiger. He made the observation there were about 20,000 following Tiger's group. There were a few hundred following the leaders. It's just, it's something that is very difficult to wrap your head around, but that's the way it is out there.
Well, I don't know if it's difficult to wrap your head around it, Bob. If Jack Nicklaus or Arnold Palmer teed it up on Sunday or Wednesday or whenever it is at Memorial or Bay Hill or Senior Players or whatever it is, the majority of the people would follow them, wouldn't you think?
It's true. I witnessed it firsthand. So did you with Nancy Lopez. I mean, she'd be five or six shots off the lead, and a bigger gallery would follow Nancy than following the leaders. Anyway, Tiger had these comments after he finished his round.
I know it's been a long time, but I remember how to do this, and I know how to hit shots, and that part's, I wasn't worried about that part. I wasn't worried about coming down the stretch, how I was going to feel. It was getting to that point. You know, I've been away from it for a while, and, you know, yeah, it takes a lot. I mean, you can't miss it around here on this golf course. Have to hit it well, and I hit it well all week, so hence I gave myself a chance to win this thing.
All right, Alex, I know.
Whoa. Where did he have a chance to win this thing? When was that? I was the best he was seven shots off the lead, for goodness sakes. When was it that he had a chance to win?
Early in his round on Sunday, I think if he went eagle, he'd had a golden opportunity. Take away the campaign that you have been leading against the play of Tiger Woods. You had to be surprised that a 12th place finish, to me, that seems incredible.
Well, I would say, first of all, on that golf course, I would have thought he would have struggled more. But then there's a realization that he didn't use driver that much. And the times when he did use driver is when he got himself in trouble. So, you know, you're not going to be able to fake your way around some of these other courses. I mean, you can't go to, you know, a major championship, including Augusta National, and fake your way around hitting irons off the tee. So if he doesn't have this driver figured out, yeah, it doesn't really matter. You know, we can sit here and pontificate all we want about how surprised we are that he's actually playing better and so forth and so on. Look, the guy hasn't won a major championship since 2008, and I've been on record to say that I don't think he'll ever win another one. Now, would he win another golf tournament? I don't think so, but, you know, anything can happen. Four rounds, even you could probably show up with four rounds, Bobby. Who knows? But the bottom line is that after he was all said and done, you look at that leaderboard and you realize that he didn't even make a top 10. You realize how far he was back, and I think you could say, as he said, he hit the ball pretty well. So what does he have to do to actually get in contention? I don't know if he's got that in his body.
Yeah, but let's switch gears just a little bit. The one impact that he's having, which is mind-boggling to me, is the cost of trying to get a glimpse of him when he's going to be playing in the Masters this year, barring, you know, physical setback or whatnot. He certainly seems to be on course to tee it up there. I'm getting reports, you have your sources, a Wednesday practice round admission ticket I'm hearing anywhere from $1,200 to $1,300 just for that one day, only because of Tiger Woods.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably true. There's a lot of excitement. I mean, let's be honest. Dustin Johnson, Jordan Spieth, now Justin Thomas, Tiger Woods. A lot of excitement about what's going on. I mean, Rory McIlroy, you would think, you would hope, Justin Rose. So there is a lot more excitement because I think there's a lot of guys that have a chance this time around. I mean, a significant and legitimate chance. That being said, yeah, I think you have to give a lot of credit to Tiger. You see here, you saw last week when we were in Los Angeles, you saw a couple weeks ago when they were in San Diego. I mean, yes, he brings a lot of bodies out and a lot of interest to the golf tournament. That being said, let's see what he does. I just don't know if he can really do what we all think that, or most people think he could do from, you know, from coming back from these injuries. And look, the fields to me, it's a great example. I mean, you had people up there that Tiger didn't even see when he was out here before. There's so Luke List. Who's Luke List? I mean, Tiger Woods had no idea. He was playing with Sam Burns. Sam Burns schooled him on Sunday, and he has no idea who Sam Burns is. I can tell you that right now. He had no idea who Sam Burns was when he was on the putting green until somebody introduced him.
That was pretty amazing. Sam Burns chopped Tiger by two shots. But let's talk about the winner here a little bit, Alex. I mean, Justin Thomas is playing at an incredible rate. 7 wins out of his last 31 starts. I mean, that was unheard of until Tiger came along. But Justin Thomas, with that pedigree of a grandfather that is a club pro, a father that's a club pro, Justin Thomas seems to have an unlimited supply of talent.
Well, I think the thing that's most impressive about Justin Thomas is that he can hit the ball as far as almost anybody else, if not farther at times. And he seems to have no, you know, he has no problem with putting the pedal to the metal out in every situation. So, you know, he's a good putter, not a great putter, but a good putter. I think he's a pretty good ball striker. I don't think there's many flaws in his game. He doesn't seem to get rattled at all. And the question I have at this point, Bob, 2 years ago, this wouldn't have been a legitimate question, but today it is. At the end of their careers, good friends, Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas, who's going to have more success at the end?
It's a very valid question. You know, before they started their pro careers, Justin Thomas was regarded as the better talent. Here's what Thomas had to say following his victory at Honda.
This was, this was a hard win. It was. I don't know, just something about this one. I was. That's the first time, you know, I've had to play the bear trap and that much pressure, and it was pretty nerve wracking. So, to get it done this week was, I was just very excited, and it just was. It felt great to get it done. It was really hard. It just was that back nine. Those last 5 holes are so difficult, and I felt I was playing so well, and I had some great opportunities. You know, I hit some really, really well executed shots coming down the stretch. It was, it just was very, just a big confidence booster, really. I mean, I feel very confident in pretty much every part of my game right now. I hit some great drives this week when I needed to. Hit some really, really good irons. Hit some great wedges. Had some great up and downs. And really made some great putts. So I feel like my game is in a very good spot at the moment.
All right, Justin Thomas, and Alex very rarely, if ever, agrees with me on anything, but I'm guessing he's going to agree with this. You know, part of the Justin Thomas arsenal is the man that he has on the bag, the very much respected Jimmy Johnson, one of the best caddies in the business.
Well, not only did Jimmy play professionally, but he actually caddied for Nick Price. And let's be honest, Nick Price and some of the other great players, he was on Stricker's bag, he was on Charles Howell's bag. He's caddied for a lot of good players. So, you know, the combination of being there and being in that situation and then going ahead and having learned from all those different players, Justin Thomas cannot be more happy than to have Jimmy Johnson on the bag.
Yeah, and Alex mentioned it before, the depth of talent on the PGA Tour now is absolutely incredible.
You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf, and heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, the Armed Forces Radio Network, TalkSport 2, TuneIn, Audio Boom, iTunes, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, or you can just ask your smart speaker Alexa, hey, play The Grill Room Golf Show, and you'll be connected.
Time now for a quick break, and when we return, our guest co-host Alex Maselli will talk about his new venture, Morning Read.
You're listening to The Grill Room. Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at The Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par 3 as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. The facility uses a unique dynamic pricing structure that golfers seem to love. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old-school golf at its finest.
Hi, I'm Ernie Els. Autism is not game over, it is game on. Get educated and learn the facts. Please learn the early warning signs on our website, elsforautism.com, and talk to your doctor about an autism screening if you have any concerns.
Welcome back to The Grill Room.
Once again, welcome back to The Grill Room Golf Show. And, of course, my old buddy started the show with me quite a while ago. Had a lot of fun doing it, filling in for vacationing Jay Randolph Jr., Alex Maselli. And one thing that has transpired since Alex's absence from The Grill Room, he's come up with a great idea. It's a publication called Morning Read. But Alex can do a better job of explaining exactly what it is, what he's hoping to accomplish. He is the founder and publisher. Give us a thumbnail sketch of what Morning Read's all about, Alex.
Well, you know, Bobby, pretty simply, I wanted something that was in the morning very early to get in front of readers, as well as something they could read on a mobile device, most likely their phones. And that's what we tried to accomplish. But the other part of that was, is we wanted to make sure that it was something not that you would read somewhere else. I didn't want to write the seventh story on, you know, Tiger Woods finishing X at Honda this week, or the 15th story on Justin Thomas's win. I wanted to write about something else. So on Monday, coming out of Honda, we wrote about the tax changes and how they affect golfers. It's about the third story on that, but it had a little different viewpoint. And then today we wrote about the distance debate and how in reality it's probably not going to be much of a debate, because Jay Monahan, the commissioner of the PGA Tour, is probably never going to succumb to the USGA's thoughts of reining in the ball, because professional golf is in a great spot. Why would you mess with it? So those are the kind of stories that we write versus writing maybe today. I think we're going to talk about it later, but the whole idea that the USGA decided that it made sense to do a two-hole playoff after if there's a tie at any of their open championships, we didn't write about that because there's a lot of people that will write about that. We wrote about something completely different.
And we'll get to that two-hole playoff in just a moment. A couple of aspects of Morning Read from somebody that now goes to it on a regular basis. It's a great source of information for me. It's easy to read. It's easily accessible. And as I understand it from reliable sources, a pretty influential reader that resides over in Europe.
Yeah, I mean, Keith Pelley's a big fan. I know that, you know, it's kind of interesting because we started this and know, just like anything else, it's like, who's going to be listening to this broadcast when you put it out there? You just never know who's reading or who's listening or who's watching. But Keith Pelley, the head of the European Tour, is a big fan. I know that in talking to others at the PGA of America, at the USGA, PGA Tour, they're all spend time with it in the morning as well. So, you know, it's nice to know that. Probably most of the reason why these people want it is to see what nasty things I might say about them. But in reality, it just gives you a different insight into certain aspects of golf that you're not reading anywhere else. And getting that support and getting the amount of readers writing us, like today, which is Tuesday in this case, I've seen at least eight responses back from people just to me personally. And they're not supposed to write to me. If they wanted to say something about the story we wrote, they would write to the editor, who's probably got another 10 or 15 of them. We never used to see that kind of interaction when I was at Golf Week or some of the other publications. So I'm very happy that people really feel that they can write in and really express their thoughts on what we're writing about.
And of course, we're very happy that we have a working relationship also with Morning Read. You can listen to the Grill Room Golf Show, comes up there on Wednesday. I like the variety of writers that you have, including the former president of the PGA of America, Ted Bishop, always on top of various situations. And he apparently, from just reading his stuff, is absolutely thrilled to death with getting this platform to express his thoughts.
Yeah, and you know, and he's got an insight that none of us have because we were never the president of the PGA of America. So I think that that in itself is a real positive. And I think that's the kind of things we're trying to do, is to try to get other thoughts, other viewpoints, which don't currently have a platform right now. And every one of our writers, I believe, could write anywhere in any publication, anywhere in the world.
Well, some of the big news at the moment, Alex, and I certainly want you to weigh in on this. I'm dumbfounded by it. United States Golf Association, known for its tradition of an 18-hole playoff to decide their major championships, released an announcement that they're doing away with the 18-hole playoff, which some, you know, I can see that side of the story, but announcing that it's going to be a two-hole playoff, you know, aggregate score, it just seems, I don't know. I don't like it. I'm going to be honest with you. I just don't think it makes much sense.
Well, when you said it just seems, it seems stupid, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, it's maybe a notch above a coin flip.
Well, a coin flip would actually be more interesting, depending on the coin. I'm not really sure I understand it, Bob. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of former USGA officials that are rolling around in their grave hearing the fact that the USGA is going to a two-hole playoff. Two holes. I mean, no one goes to two holes. I mean, at the very least, you have to go with an odd number, right? Don't you have to go with an odd number? You can't go with two. Who goes with two? And if they didn't want to do sudden death, it was like, okay, sudden death is taken by Augusta, and three-hole playoff is taken by the PGA, and the four-hole playoff is taken by the RNA. Oh, let's go with two. It's the available one.
You know, I chuckle at that response, but, you know, I can easily see that may have been their thinking. You know, we want to do something different than everybody else. If it doesn't make much sense, that's okay.
Let's not give them too much credit that they were thinking during this process. It could have happened, you know, it could have just come to them just, I don't know, out of the air, between champagnes as they're sitting there in their blue blazers. Who knows?
You know, the amazing thing is our U.S. Open, our national championship, if there's a tie, yes, TV didn't like Mondays. You know, maybe a lot of people didn't like Mondays. But I think the magnitude of the championship certainly deserves more than just a two-hole playoff.
Well, not according to those people that are running the U.S. Open Championship.
Certainly want to thank Alex Maselli for joining us on this edition of the Grill Room.
You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf, and heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, the Armed Forces Radio Network, TalkSport 2, TuneIn, Audioboom, iTunes, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, or you can just ask your smart speaker Alexa, hey, play The Grill Room Golf Show, and you'll be connected. We're going to take a short break, and when we return, it's time to groove up with Vertical Groove Golf.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
The Grill Room is thrilled to support the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and all superintendents doing great work for the game we all love. In fact, we call them the unsung heroes in golf. Here's what two-time major winner Jordan Spieth has to say.
If you love golf like I do, you'll thank your golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Hi, I'm Ernie Els. Autism is not game over, it is game on. Get educated and learn the facts. Please learn the early warning signs on our website, elsforautism.com, and talk to your doctor about an autism screening if you have any concerns.
Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at The Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par three as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. The facility uses a unique dynamic pricing structure that golfers seem to love. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old-school golf at its finest.
Welcome back to The Grill Room.
Welcome back to this edition of The Grill Room. Alex Maselli sitting in for Jay Randolph Jr. You know, while at the Honda Classic, which is near Jupiter, Florida, where the Honda has played, The Grill Room had an opportunity to go visit the Vertical Groove Golf Operations headquarters. And Chris Reeves, National Sales Manager, was kind enough to give us some great insight into why the Vertical Grooves work so well. All right, here we are at the headquarters for Vertical Groove Golf in Jupiter, Florida, and a good opportunity to catch up with a longtime friend, Christopher Reeves. He's National Sales Manager for Vertical Groove Golf, and so many exciting things, Chris, with Vertical Groove since we first met. I mean, what's going on last season with John Daly and even more so with Kenny Perry? I mean, quite honestly, you got to be over the moon with the success, early success, that's continuing to grow with Vertical Groove.
Absolutely, Bob. It's been one of those years that you can't imagine ever happening. To get a win with John in March and then to follow it up with Kenny Perry winning the U.S. Senior Open, just couldn't dream of that. And then to lead the Champions Tour in distance. We finished second in accuracy by, I think, 0.5%. And this year we've started off, we're leading in distance and we're leading in accuracy again. So, you know, those stories are great. Doug Garwood has switched to it, now leading the Champions Tour in accuracy. Went from, I believe it was around 65th to now first in accuracy in just under, I think, 4 or 5 months. So it proves that what we're doing is working, and a lot of guys are seeing it and using it.
You know, the amazing thing, people may be hearing about Vertical Groove for the first time, and obviously their reaction is going to be, well, what does Vertical Groove do, a Vertical Groove driver? What is it going to do for my game? And I'm happy to say, based on friends using it, based on the best players in the world using it, it does really two things. It allows you to hit the ball further, and even probably as important, it allows you to hit it straight. And we were talking before we started this with an analogy that a friend of yours came up with about why that is so with the vertical grooves. Why don't you share that with our listeners?
Correct. It was funny. I was talking to a gentleman the other day at the PGA National, and we were talking, and he said, you know, your driver is like, the grooves of your driver are like tires on a car. You wouldn't want the tread of your car going opposite the direction you're going. You want it in the direction you're going. And I thought it was the best analogy because it's exactly what the grooves on our driver do. It helps you hit it straighter going down the fairways. So you hit it straighter, you hit it further. So it's just a great analogy, I thought.
And the accuracy, really, you know, in scientific terms, and I'm not going to go too deep into science because that's not my forte, but the elimination of side spin really makes the ball go straighter. Am I right?
Absolutely correct. And through some testing and listening to different fitters, and they're watching our club perform against some of the others from all the other major manufacturers, our club puts less side spin on it, so what it does is doesn't go offline as far, and they see it consistently. We were in a fitting a week ago, and we were up against Titleist, and we were up against the new M3 and Epic, and you know, the guys went through at TruSpec, who we were with, and they talked about dispersion, and you know, let's say the Titleist was 51 yards, the Geek Callaway was 52, and the M2 was 48 or whatever, and then we were like 37. So, I mean, the dispersion, and that's the thing that blew their mind, is it keeps performing over and over again the same way for everyone, and it just makes people hit it straighter and they hit it further.
John Daly, the longest hitter on the Champions Tour. My first time talking to John after he had discovered the vertical groove driver, there was a certain amount of excitement, Chris, by John Daly because of the size of the head. And when he told me that it's smaller than, you know, a lot of the manufacturers, he was able to get more club head speed. You get more club head speed, yes, you're going to hit it further. And I think that that's an aspect of the vertical groove driver that is not preached enough.
I agree. You know, a lot of the companies are starting to scale back a little bit. 460 has been obviously the biggest. It's been the benchmark where everybody says 460, more forgiving. And what we're finding is we can still get the forgiveness at 450 cc's. It's just how you maneuver it. Ours is a little smaller, deeper face. The smaller club, you're going to swing faster. And I think that's what John likes. It's a, you know, simple, the bulge and roll where you have the workability, you can maneuver it if you want to, and those things. So I think that absolutely has a big part of it.
One more thing with Chris Reeves, as we let him get back to work, as we're at the Vertical Groove headquarters, satisfaction over the driver. There were a lot of requests made. Hey, is there going to be a 3-wood that's going to be available? Chris is about to tell us the real good news along those lines.
Yeah, the fairway woods are available. They're in shop now. We're building them left and right. It's been crazy. We have a 14-degree, which has the weight a little forward, so it's a more flatter penetrating ball flight. Still gets up in the air really good off the fairway. But then for the other guys who want to hit it a little higher, we have a 15-degree with the weight a little further back, so it launches a little higher. It's really exciting. It's got great turf interaction, the 360-degree sole. You can really go down, get after it, and it doesn't dig, and it really is a good performer. We're really excited about our fairway wood.
All right, as we wrap this up, somebody wants to order a driver, they want to order a 3-wood, tell them the simple process that they have to do.
They can go on vertgolf.com, order your fairway wood, order your driver. You can customize it to what you want, and we'll get it out to you ASAP.
And you'll play better golf because you're going to hit it further, you're going to hit it straighter. Hey, Chris, thanks a million for your time, and get back to work.
All right. Thanks, Bob. See you later.
Well, I had to tell Chris to get back to work because they're so busy. So many people want to try this vertical groove technology. Absolutely incredible. You're going to hit it further, and you're going to hit it straighter. And for your information, when you order your vertical groove driver, it's going to be put together by master club fitter Jacob Keith.
Well, now you're up to date on what's going on around the world of golf. That's it for this week. You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf.
So on behalf of our executive producer, Janice Self, Jay Randolph Jr., and myself, Bob Bupka, big thank you for being part of our Grill Room family. Please follow us on Twitter at TGR Golf. Of course, you can like us and follow us on Facebook and on Instagram at The Grill Room Golf Show.
Thanks for spending some time in The Grill Room. No need to leave a tip. Just come back again next week. The Grill Room.